Well, today we're so thankful that you are here. We are continuing in our series we have started. We've called Discovering Team Destiny. Discovering Team Destiny. And Discovering Team Destiny is all about going back over our value system here at Destiny Church and saying, what has God called us to do? What are the things that we feel like are spiritually important and physically important to our church that we want to focus in upon? And as I am spending time just kind of refreshing and bringing this up today, because many of you have come in over this last year, year and a half, and you have not heard the heart of our church and who we are and what we're wanting to do. And so this Discovering Team Destiny is all about looking at how God is calling us to be unique and some of the things he's challenging us to do as a church body. And so Discovering Team Destiny is a series of messages based off of our core value system that you see in your bulletin there. You'll see the things that we are valuing. And one of the things that we value very much is not only team ministry and using our spiritual gifts and relationships, but also growing. That God has called every one of us to grow. How many know if you're not growing, you are shrinking? That's good. Let's say it again. If you're not growing, I am dying. Some of you have a hard time getting that word out. You know, it's kind of like Fonzie saying, I'm sorry, you just can't do it. If you're not growing, you're dying. Okay, that's my belief. If you're not growing, then you are taking a process of saying, you know what, I'm deceasing, I'm shrinking. And so no matter if you've been saved 2 weeks or you've been saved for 25, 30 years, it doesn't make a difference that we are all called to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. When it comes to our spiritual journey, it never stops. Now, your physical body will at some point stop growing. Well, it stops growing in height and you'll grow out this way, maybe like some of us do. And then at some point, you do begin to shrink over time. Your body begins to actually shrink up because of your spine and curvature that happens, you know, as you begin to shrink up through age. But spiritually, we are never called to die. Spiritually, other than dying ourselves to God, other than dying spiritually, but we are called what? To grow. Continue to grow. We should be continue to grow. And if you're at the same place you were a year ago spiritually, I will say that you are not doing what God has called you to do. If you are not at the same place spiritually you were a year ago, then you have failed to embrace this process of growing. Now, for many of you, I can look out as your pastor and say, I have seen a lot of growth in your life over this past year. So many of you, I can spend the rest of the day talking to you as I've seen God doing things in your life, in your marriage, in your own personal family, in ministry. And I'm just so excited about what God is doing at Destiny Church. So many people are growing and saying, Pastor, I want to now begin to use the giftings that God has given me. That's because why? Because you're growing. And you want, it's a natural process of growing, is that you want to use your giftings for the Lord. Because we have found out if I use my giftings for the Lord, then my joy will be complete. That my joy will not be complete until I learn to use the giftings that God has given me to use for his kingdom. It's only then will I find true fulfillment in my life. Only then will my joy be complete, when I use the gifting God has given me. And so last week we began to embrace this process of growing. And we talked about our scripture, which is Luke 2:52. This is where we get the basis for this. It says, and Jesus grew in wisdom. How many know Jesus is a good example? And you think, if we're going to base anything off of anybody, I think, how many know Jesus is a great place, all right? You're in the right spot. So it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom. And let's stop right there. How many know if Jesus grew in wisdom? If God took on human form, and he said, I'm going to leave ultimate knowledge, and I'm going to come down and take, what, earthly form, and I'm going to grow myself in the knowledge that I already have. Isn't that kind of mind-blowing, that he was ultimate knowledge. He had ultimate knowledge. He had ultimate wisdom. He had ultimate relationship with the Father. But yet when he came to earth, he chose to have to grow that. I mean, you talk about sacrifice. What did God do? He came and he limited himself. Yet he was still full God, but yet he was still full man. And his full man side needed to grow in wisdom of the Lord. That's what scripture says. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature, and in favor. Favor means in relationship with God and with man. So theologically, we know that Jesus and God were all the same, that they are the same person. But yet, we see where Jesus came and limited himself in his knowledge of who God was, that he actually had to take time to grow in relationship and grow closer to God. James 4:8 is very clear. Come near to God and he'll what? Come near to you. Everybody say, duh. That's just one. This is really one of those duh scriptures, because you read it and go, yeah, right, duh. You know, how do I get close to God? Well, you come near to God, and God, what? He will draw near to you. And I will say this, that God is drawing and inching closer to you every day. And he's just waiting for you to take a step. And he's like, about time. He's like, man, just show me. Just give me an act of faith of saying that you want to draw close to me and watch how I will run and embrace you. Watch how I'll fall upon your neck, as we talked about, the embrace of the Father. How he'll come and embrace you. We see how God says, I want to come and draw close to you. So how do we grow close to God? That's what we're talking about today, how to grow close to God. Today we're going to look at some spiritual things here. And I ask these five questions, I believe. I've done a lot of study over this over many years. And I believe that really comes down to five basic questions that we ask ourselves when it comes to how do I grow closer to God. You want to grow closer to God? This is, if I could break it down, I try to break it down as simple as I could. Five basic questions to ask ourselves how to grow closer to God. Number one, do I really want to grow? Simple question. Do I really want to grow? Some of you want to go right now because you're getting hungry. But grow. Let's say grow. Do I really want to grow? Matthew 5, 6 says this. Jesus painted this great picture. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. And I love this because Jesus is painting such a great picture here. He said, blessed are those who what? Who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. And I love the fact that he uses the word hunger and thirst because he was translating to you and I, the greatest teacher to ever walk the earth, the greatest teacher bar none, the greatest illustrated person to ever teach and has taught people from the education system to the biblical system how to teach and how to lead. He is teaching what? He is teaching how do we grow and be blessed to God. He said, those who hunger and those who thirst. How many have ever been hungry before? Raise your hand. Have you ever been hungry in your life? Every one of us, okay? Thank you, Tom. Every one of us have been hungry in our life. How many have been thirsty before? We've all been thirsty. So Jesus, when he was using this illustration, he knew that he was using an illustration that you and I could relate to. Because he knows that we've all been hungry, and he knows that we've all been thirsty. And so the master teacher here is saying, those who hunger and those who thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. So he's painting this picture, all right? I know. And as I look at that, I thought about what does the word hunger and thirst really, what was he really saying there? And I thought about this. I believe it means this. I know I can't live without it. I can't live without food, can I? I know in my mind that I cannot live without food and water. It's just there. I've got to have it. I can't live without it. I also know that my hunger draws me toward the thing that I want. It's my hunger that will draw me toward the food that I'm craving. My hunger will draw me toward it. And then also I know as I partake of it when I'm hungry, how many know that? As I'm drawn to the food that I'm craving, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. As I drink of it and as I taste of it, what happens? I enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy it. And so here Jesus is painting the picture saying, blessed are those who hunger, those who are drawn, those who thirst. Listen, as they draw toward it, as they hunger for it, as they get passionate about it, blessed are those shall be filled with what? With the Spirit. Those people will draw close to the Lord. Luke 9:23 says this, if you want to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. You cannot do that without desire. You cannot do that without desire. Jesus said it's a daily thing. We talked about this Wednesday night a little bit in our lesson on walking in the Spirit. If anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily. How many know daily? That's a pretty hard word to understand, isn't it? So in case we don't understand it, what's that mean? That means today. It also means tomorrow. And it also means what? The next day, right? I'm being sarcastic. You know that. But what I mean is daily. It's a thing that we have to get into our mind that being a follower of Christ is not just a Sunday thing. That being a follower after Christ and growing in our relationship with God goes beyond the doors of Sunday morning. It becomes a daily thing. He said, daily must sacrifice. Daily I must hunger and thirst after him. Daily I must thirst after his righteousness. Daily I must hunger for his presence in my life. Because when I begin to get a passion for him, when I begin to get a hunger for him, I said, Jesus, I want more of you today in my life. When I'm driving to work and I put on some worship or I'm just praying to God in my own way, I say, God, I need more of you today. You know what I'm doing? I'm drawing close to him. And what happens? I challenge you this week, if you have never done this, this is a great exercise for you. After you drop the kids off to school or you're heading to work and you're by yourself in the car this week, I challenge you to say, God, be with me today. Put on some, if you have some praise and worship, put it on in your car. Put that CD on in your car and say, God, be with me today. God, I want more of you in my life today. As you take that step to draw close to God, I guarantee you will feel a sense of his presence like you've never sensed before in your life. If you've never done that before, I guarantee his presence will fill that car and begin to saturate you as you drive to work. And you'll find yourself saying, oh, man, what am I? This feels good. God, I feel your spirit on me today. I feel encouraged. I can make it. I can face my boss today. I can face some of the things I'm going through today. I can face my troubles today. I can face the things that are happening in my life today because I am drawing close to him, and now he's drawing close to me. And as I hunger for that, see, I've got a hunger for it. I've got a thirst for it. My life has got to say, I want that in my life. People trying to do it with just daily habits is not going to happen. It's just not a religious formula that we say, all right, you do this, and this. Now, there's some spiritual habits and some spiritual disciplines we can do, and I will talk about them in a few minutes, some things we can do that will help. But it's just not those things by themselves. It comes through communication. Just as I can have a desire to draw close to my wife all day long, but if I do not stop and communicate with her, am I going to draw close to her? Oh, I really wanted it. I wanted my marriage to be strong. I really wanted to be close to my wife. Well, honey, you haven't talked to me in 3 weeks. I know, but by my heart, honey, I really desire for us to be closer in our relationship. That makes no sense at all, does it? Because if I desire to be close to her, I will communicate with her. I will share with her. I will talk to her. And that will draw us closer together. The same happens in my marriage with Christ. As I desire it, if I really desire it, I'm going to communicate with him. I'm going to learn to commune with him throughout the day. I'm going to learn in my heart to say, God, I want more of you in my life. God, I'm going through this today. God, I want you to be in charge of this in my life. God, help me to get through this. The things that I'm going through, I commune with God throughout my day. It takes both spiritual habits and communion with God. But the problem is this, and it's a lesson I learned from my son, Preston, who is now 10. But when he was about 4 years old, we had been baptizing people at the church. And as we were baptizing people at the church, he saw that. And so that week when I was giving him a bath at home, he said, Dad, will you baptize? He was playing, obviously. He said, Dad, why don't you baptize me here in the bathtub, you know? And he didn't fully have an understanding of what it meant. And so, just in plain, and, you know, I washed his hair, and so I would rinse it off. I was going to baptize him to rinse it off, the shampoo out of his hair, you know. So you can imagine this four-year-old boy in there, and I wash his hair, and I'm ready to baptize him, you know, and I baptize him, bring him back up. And he stops and looks at me, and he quits laughing. And he says, Dad, he gets a serious look on his face. He says, Dad, he goes, does this mean I got to be good now? I mean, you see, this is this concept that my four-year-old son taught me, that all of us struggle with this thing of control in our life. He didn't want to stop. He didn't want to give God control of his life. He was still thinking about, God, do I really have to be good now? Does that mean, I know we're playing around, but do I really have to be good now that you baptized me? You know, he's thinking about that. He was counting those costs in his head even at the age of four. And I think that we never outgrow that, because many of us here, this is really what comes down to. We were afraid that, God, if I desire you and if I thirst after you, if I hunger for you, then God, I'm giving up control of my life. And I say, yes, you are. Because if you want to grow closer to God, it's all about releasing yourself to him. It's about giving up control and saying, God, I want your ways more than my ways. God, I want your will for my life more than what I want to do on my own. God, I want to take my desire. I want to take my things, my goals, my things I want to see done. And God, I want to place them at your feet, God, and say, God, I want you to use it for your glory. God, I want your ways higher than my ways. God, I want your will more than my will. It's a control issue that we learn to give up and say, God, I hunger and I thirst for more of you. And as I hunger, genuinely hunger and thirst for more of him, the closer I will grow. Number two, am I certain I'm saved through God's grace? I believe this is such an important question we have to really ask ourselves, because many of us, when it comes to drawing close to God, this is really where we get hung up mentally, right here. I've been there in my life, and it was a big hang up about my life mentally. And some of you heard me share about the sin bucket. And I'll share that example again, because I believe it's so true that in my life, I believe that I had this sin bucket in my life. And as I sinned, I would fill this bucket up until I could not carry it no longer. And then I would come to an altar and I would empty it out, and I would go back feeling light. I felt better. And my bucket was empty. I could sin all I wanted to now. And it was like, you know, I had the sin bucket and this mentality. And then I got past the sin bucket mentality and realized it's about a relationship with God. And I would do well. I'm going to do more. I'm going to thirst after you, God. I'm going to hunger after you. God, I get passionate. I would make goals, Justin, man. I'd make these goals. God, I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go after you. And, God, I'm going to change my friends, and I'm going to do, I mean, all these things I began to set out. And I would do well for a while. And then at some point in my life, I would fail, and I would mess up. And I'd be like, man, I blew it all. I came so far. And in my mind, I would struggle to get to a certain part, and then I'd fail. And then I'd get down, and I'd feel like I had to go all the way back to the starting point. Oh, I just blew all that, and I got to go back and start over again. And so it made me not to want to try to do it because I got tired of failing, or I got tired of feeling like I was never going anywhere. And as I understand God's grace in my life, I understand God's grace doesn't work that way in my life. That my relationship with Jesus is not about me failing. It's about me getting up. My relationship is not about me failing. It's about me continuing to get up and go forward. That when I fall, I don't go back to start over again. But when I fall, I repent where I'm at, and I get up and I go forward in Jesus. That my relationship is a continual process. That I don't go back to the starting point every time I make a mistake. And this scripture is very true in John 5:24. It says, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears what I say and believes on the one who sent me has eternal life. The person who will not be judged, this person will not be judged guilty, but has already left death into eternal life. And so some of us here today, we are dragging our heels. Even though Christ has redeemed us through his grace, even when we didn't deserve the grace that we received, when nobody else would forgive us, he forgave us. And he set us our feet upon the rock, man, and made us solid in our foundation in him. But we'll be fine until we mess up, and then we think, oh, you know, God doesn't love me no more. And, you know, I just fell in God so much, and we mentally get hung up right there. Am I telling the truth? This is where we struggle. Some of you can't even worship today because you came in defeated about your week. Some of you had a hard time worshiping because you said, you know what, man, I didn't have a great week. I didn't do so well, so I don't deserve to lift my hands and worship. I feel like a phony if I lift my hands and worship. I feel like a fake because I lift my hands and worship. Pastor, how'd you know that? Because I've been there. I've been there. I know what it means. And sometimes we feel like, you know, I can't even lift my hands and worship today because I just didn't do as well this week as I should have. And when I quit realizing this, that it's not about me, it's about him. My worship is not about me. It's about him. It's not about me. It's about him. And as I stopped and said, God, my salvation is secure in you. That my salvation is about a process that I'm going through. It's secure in you. I'm secure in you as I continue to go forward. If I make a mistake, I get up and ask God to forgive me, and I go forward. I don't have to go back, and I haven't blown a long start back and starting one. It's about me getting up. It's about me daily. Daily. Taking up my cross and following after him. Boy, I had a bad day yesterday. Well, good news is you got a new day today. The good news is our God is gracious, and he's going to give you the grace. And as you say, God, I failed today. God, I need you more today. God, be Lord of my life in this area. God, help me to do better. As I'm giving those things over to him, I am growing in him. But the problem is we try to do things the opposite way. We make the mistake of trying to do spiritual things in order to build a sense of security. The more spiritual things I do, the more security I'm building in my life. And our salvation is not upon works. Our salvation is not built upon works. It's built upon faith. It's built upon a faith of knowing who he is in our life. But as I build my foundation on faith and knowing it's God's grace that has saved me, it's God's grace in my life that has redeemed me, not because of any spiritual thing I've done to try to be Mr. Spiritual, Mrs. Spiritual, but it's through that only act of receiving the grace of the cross of Jesus Christ, that while I was yet a sinner, Christ, you died for me and forgave me. And as I accept that salvation and I walk in that grace, that sets up the platform, and that platform will then lead me to doing mature spiritual acts. That platform would then encourage me to grow spiritually and to do things beyond where I'm at. But I don't do the things to gain spiritual security. It's because of my spiritual security in him and knowing who I am in Christ that it motivates me to want to do acts for Christ. It motivates me to want to do spiritual things for him. You see the difference? But we have this the opposite. We try to do things to justify our walk with God. And God says, you got it all backwards. It's about the relationship of my grace in you. And when you have a revelation of that, then it empowers you. It changes your mind. It changes your direction. And then you want to do spiritual acts for God. Then you want to use your giftings for the Lord. Am I certain I'm saved by God's grace? Satan will battle your mind over and over and over again. He will tell you that you're the worst Christian that's ever walked this earth. He will tell you you're not really saved. He'll whisper in your ear, you think you're a Christian, but I know what you were thinking. You think you were this and that, and Satan will whisper in your mind. Why is that? Because he's a liar. That's what Scripture says. He's a liar. He's the father of liars. He looks around to steal, to kill, and destroy from you. So he's going to whisper in your ear, you're a failure. You're not a Christian. You're not really a Christian. He'll whisper these things in your ear because he wants to get you down. Because if he can get you feeling that way, then you won't want to come to church. And if he can get you not coming to church, then he can isolate you. And if he gets you isolated, then what happens? Then he'll attack you, and he'll strip you, and he'll steal everything that you ever built up in your life. And so he'll whisper in your ear, you're not really a Christian. You don't really love God. You got to be secure in your foundation, knowing it's only through the grace of God that I'm a Christian. Not by my works, but through the grace of God. And as I have a revelation of God's grace in my life, it releases me to grow and do mature things in Christ. Like what Galatians says here in verse 3. You begin your life in Christ by the Spirit. Now are you trying to make it complete by your own power? Paul said, that's foolish. He was talking to Galatians church. They were struggling with the same thing. They were trying to do good works to get their way to heaven. They were trying to do good works. They were using works to justify everything. And Paul said, you begin your life in Christ by the Spirit. He was saying, you begin by faith and Spirit. Now you're trying to make it all complete by your own power. He said, that's a foolish thing to do. That's not wisdom. But true wisdom is growing in God's grace and knowing that his grace is sufficient for me. His grace is more than enough. And as I have a knowledge of God's grace, it only makes me want to respond by doing things for God. It only makes me want to respond by doing good works for him. But it's not my works that saves me. It's my faith in him, the grace of who he is. So getting past that mental barrier will draw you closer to God. Number three, will I discipline myself for growth? Will I discipline myself for growth? It's really a tough question because it really comes down to it. If you really want to grow closer to God, it's about spiritual disciplines in your life. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, or some say a timid spirit, but a spirit of what? A power of love and self-discipline. How many like receiving gifts? Do you like receiving gifts? Come on, ladies, raise your hands. Don't be lying. Guys, raise your hands. Everybody likes to receive gifts, don't you? Everybody likes to receive gifts. And if we all want to be honest, we like to receive gifts. And I would say to you today, you may be here saying, Pastor, this thing about, you know, growing and closer to God, this thing about showing disciplines in my life, I am just not a disciplined person. I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to do some certain things in my life. I know there's some spiritual disciplines I need to grasp. But be honest, I'm just not a disciplined person. And I would say, congratulations. I had this perfect gift for you because God has given it to you. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, a timid spirit, but a spirit of what? A power of love and self-discipline. So whether or not you possess that or not, that's your fault, because you can unwrap the gift, because this gift is for every believer. God did not give this gift to certain ones and not give. He said, this is for everyone. It's a gift that helps you go beyond your own superficiality, helps you go beyond your own natural ability, that helps you get beyond the hang-ups that you have, that how can I do this? I'm not naturally this way. Well, congratulations. God's Spirit will make up the gap. But you've got to unwrap that gift and say, God, I'm going to walk in your Spirit. I'm going to walk and not be timid. But God, I can resist the things I need to resist because your Spirit has given it to me. God, I can practice certain spiritual disciplines in my life because you have given me the power through your Spirit. Every one of us has this power. Not every one of us walk in this power. Not every one of us will tap into this power. But the power is there. The gift is there if you'll unwrap it and say, God, I'm going to take your promise. I'm going to take your gift. I'm going to unwrap it in my life. I'm going to walk in spiritual disciplines in my life. 2 Timothy 4:7-8 says, spend your time and energy training yourself for spiritual fitness. It says physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is more important. It promises a reward both in this life and the next. And that what we are doing today is not just about today. It's for eternity. The spiritual disciplines are helping you grow, secure yourself in the Lord, and knowing that, you know what I'm doing today is making not only a value for today, but it's making a value investment for eternity. Don't make the mistake of getting caught up in living your life for today and for your life, because it's such a small microsecond of what eternity really is, because eternity will never end. Time will never end in eternity. Time has just begun in eternity. But yet we'll live our life so selfishly for the microsecond that we're here. I want to do what makes me feel good. I want to do what I want to do. I want to do my goals, my dreams, my accomplishments. I want to do this. And it's not about that. That's what he says. Listen, the most important thing is still spiritual exercise. It will give you the most value, making a value not for now, but for eternity. And eternity is more than a microsecond. Eternity will never stop. It will never end. And so I've got to learn to discipline myself for growth, discipline myself for eternity, not just for today. And so I wanted to give you the balance of this message, because the balance was not only faith, but also there is some spiritual disciplines I believe will help you grow this year. I'm just narrowing them down. The top three things I believe will help you grow this year. Number one, quiet time. You need to learn to develop a quiet time in your life. What do you mean quiet time? I mean when you're driving in the car and you're spending that time talking to God, time to do some things. That quiet time can be reading the Bible. That quiet time can spend time worshiping God. But you need to learn daily to spend some quiet time with the Lord. You communion with God, saying, God, I want to draw close to you, that you will draw close to me. You need to learn to also, we need to also learn to get involved in a small group. We got to build relationships. You want to grow closer to God this year? Get involved in a small group. They're going to be coming up February the 17th. We're going to be kicking off several groups. You're going to be hearing about those over the next few weeks. We have several small groups kicking off throughout this area, and you're going to have a chance to get involved in those small groups. You've got to build a relationship with people that will challenge you to grow, that will challenge you to get better. I guarantee if you'll get involved in a small group, you will grow spiritually in your life. If you get involved in a small group, it will help you grow spiritually in your life, because you become accountable to people. You get prayer from people. You get support from people. You get people who help you grow. As iron sharpens iron, you cannot help but grow when you get around other people, other Christians. You make each other better. You challenge each other to be better. And tithing. You've got to learn to give. This represents so much in your life. And tithing. I believe if you're not doing these three things, I believe you're going to be stagnant where you're at. But if you want to trust the Lord and grow, I mean, how many know it takes a lot, especially in today's economy. It takes a lot to trust the Lord when you bring that offering up. So many of you do that already. And if you're not doing that, I challenge you. Trust the Lord in your finances. Trust him with your thing. Give him of your finances. You got to find quiet time with the Lord. You got to get involved in people, and you got to learn to give the Lord what's already his tithe and his offering. That's a different message, but I say these are some spiritual disciplines. There's other some special disciplines I didn't write down, but it's practicing solitude, learning to worship the Lord. It's learning the discipline of confessing to God, interceding, praying, Bible reading. You know, learning to give it myself, journaling, all these things we can learn to do. But I believe these things, we'll just practice three things. Learning to talk to God every day, spending a quiet time of learning who he is with him. Get involved in relationships and learn to tithe. Those things will begin to stretch you. If you're not doing those things already, they will stretch you and you will see a spiritual growth in your life. Number four, as we're getting ready to close here. Number four, how will I respond to that test, trials, and temptations? You want to grow close to God? How will I respond to tests, trials, and temptations? Let me ask you this question. Let me give you a math equation. How many people are good at math? Anybody here good at math? We have any math teachers in the house? We got some math teachers in the house. We got a few math teachers in the house. Let me give you a really hard question. This is an equation. What percentage of people in this room do you think will go through a trial this year? 100%, right? You got it right. Give yourself a hand. Turn to your neighbor. Yeah, good job, good job. 100%, we're all going to have faced trials this year, okay? How many of us, what percentage are going to face temptation this year? 100%. Well, you guys are getting good at this. We went to schools like this, you know. We 100%. All of us are going to face trials. All of us are going to face temptations in our life. And growing close to God is how will I respond to them. Because my response will equal my growth. My response will help me either grow or die. Look what James 1:2 says. James 1:2 says, count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds, because God is using them to produce patience, endurance, hope, and faith. God is trying to grow you, not grade you. Let me say it again. When God allows you to go through a test, he is not trying to grade you. He is trying to grow you. A big difference. God's not trying to make you make an A, but he's trying to pull you up from a B to an A. Most of the difference. He's not trying to grade you. He's trying to grow you. And so my tests are to help me grow. Satan tests me. Satan what? Satan tempts me for my destruction, but God tests me for my development. Satan tempts me to destroy me because he wants me to fail. God will what? He will test me for my development. See, my temptations and trials will either destroy my life, they'll either make me doubt my faith in God, they'll either make me go back, it'll make me want to give up on my marriage, they'll make me want to give up on things in my life, or they will strengthen me as I put my faith in God and I'll walk through them. God, I don't understand what I'm going through. God, I don't understand this trial. God, this temptation seems to be strong in my life, but as I pass the test, I am growing in my trust in the Lord. I am growing and maturing in who God is in my life. God, how will I respond to tests, trials, and temptations? These things will determine whether or not I grow closer to God this year. That God hasn't called us to fail every test we come across. God wants you to pass some of these tests. And I will say this to you, you will continue to fail. You'll continue to have to face the same test until you can pass it. Unlike school where you take a test and you flunk it, then you know you move on to a different test. You meant to come back and take the next. Same thing will happen. You'll have to come back and you'll face that same test over and over and over again in your life until you can prove that you can pass it. God is one because God is using that test to develop us, to grow us. Count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds because God is using them to produce what? Patience, endurance, and hope and faith. He's using it to produce what? The fruit of the Spirit in my life. God uses these things to grow me closer to him. It's a step process. And the last thing in closing here. Will I develop relationships that strengthen me? That strengthen my growth? Will I develop relationships that strengthen my growth? I'm going to be talking about this a little more next week. This kind of gives you a preview. But will I develop relationships that strengthen my growth? Acts 11:23 says, encourage the believers to stay close to the Lord, whatever the cost. Whatever the cost. You want to grow closer to God this year? You want to grow closer to God in wisdom and growing closer to God now in relationship with him? You've got to learn to develop relationships that are going to help you grow. This is such an important key. I will say this to you. You cannot do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. You've got to have people who are going to make you better. You've got to have people who are going to strengthen you, who are going to challenge you. And part of growing closer to God is getting around people who are close to God. And together, you're challenging each other. Together, you're supporting each other. God never meant for us to do it alone. God never meant for us to do our Christian journey alone. But he has developed it and designed it that you and I would encourage each other, that we would sharpen each other, make sure they're better, pray one for another, encourage each other. I mean, these things go on hand to hand. He says, encourage the believers to stay close to the Lord, whatever the cost. What's that mean? I mean, when you see someone slipping, man, whatever it costs them, you tell them, it's not worth it. Stay close to God. Stay close to God. And that doesn't happen when you're not connected with people. You got to get with relationships, develop these relationships that will strengthen my growth with God. Five simple questions to ask yourself when it comes to growing close to God. Am I doing these things? Am I believing this? Am I producing these things in my life? In closing today, I'm going to ask you to bow your head. As you bow your head today, you say, Pastor, you're talking about growing closer to God, and yet I'm not even really right with Jesus in my life. I've never asked him to be Lord of my life. I've been to church before, maybe a lot.
Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you've never been to church hardly ever. Doesn't make a difference. But if you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't want to go another minute without asking Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer before. Asking Jesus Christ to come into your life, accepting his son as a savior. Or maybe you've done it before us, but you find yourself not living for him. You find yourself running from the very exact opposite of who he is. And today, as you're here, you say, I want to renew my commitment to Christ. If you're here today and that's me, can you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking but me. I would not embarrass you. But I want to give you that opportunity today. Can you raise your hand if that's you today and say, that's me? I want to accept Jesus in my life. Can you raise it high? Second question I have for you today is this. Say, Pastor, as you're talking about growing closer to God, I can see where in my own life where I was falling short in some of these areas, and I've had some doubt in some of these areas. And today I'm being challenged, and I just want to raise my hand and say, God, this year I'm going to embrace this process of growing, not only in wisdom, as we talked about last week, but today I want to grow closer to God and my relationship with God. I want to learn to practice some spiritual habits in my life, and I want to learn to begin to think differently and talk differently and do some things different. God is challenging me today. If you're challenged today in your spirit and God's speaking to you, can you just raise your hand as a sign of response? Thank you. Several hands. Yeah, that's fine, guys. Just being honest. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. God's challenging you. Yeah, personally. You're taking personal responsibility by raising your hands and saying, God's speaking to me personally. Thank you. Several hands going up, guys. I'm going to invite you to stand today where you're at. As we close out today in prayer, know this, that God is what? Longing to draw close to you. I cannot stress that enough. God is longing to draw close to you. We got to draw close to him. We got to learn to put some things into action in our life that draw us close to him. I'm going to pray for you today, especially those who raise your hands. I believe today is a great starting point for you in your spiritual growth. Father, I just pray for those who raise their hands today. God, that somewhere in this message, they were challenged to do some things different in their life. They were challenged, Lord, because they want more of you. That's why they raised their hands, because, God, they want more of you. They want to grow closer to you. God, that's the reason why we come to church, is because we want to draw closer to you. We want to learn more about you and your word. And Father, I pray for every person who raised their hand today that said they wanted to draw closer to you. Father, whatever area they raised their hand about, God, I pray that your spirit today, your Holy Spirit today, would begin to work in their heart in that area. May they learn to practice some spiritual disciplines, some spiritual faith. God, may they learn, God, to trust you in all their ways, learning to give you everything over their life, God. Giving up control, giving up fear, giving up things, Lord, to our life and saying, God, I want to draw close to you. Lord, I am raising my hand today saying, Father, I want to grow in you. I want to grow closer to the Lord this year than I am right now. I want to grow closer to you, Father. And as we raise our hands and say that we want to be draw close to you, I pray to Father, your Holy Spirit right now will begin to do something alive to those people who raised their hands today. God, that there is a thirst and a hunger for you, God, that would not be quenched except through your word, through time with you, through worship with you, through practicing some disciplines in our life, that God, as we hunger and thirst for you, that God, your spirit begins to draw close to us, begins to talk to us, God, and do a thing in our life that has never been done before. And I pray today that, God, you are doing something great and new in their life. And I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit today, God, that you allow us to walk in freedom of guilt. God, you take off that mindset, Lord, that we're not worthy. But God, because your grace has made us worthy. God, your grace is sufficient for us, God. And we walk, Lord, not in our failure. But we walk in our promise. I'm going to say that again. God, we walk not in our failure, but God, we walk in our promise. A promise of empowerment through you, through your son, Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit today, that we can be overcomers, that we can grow in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God, today we receive that. We say amen? Amen. God bless you today. Find somebody. Go to lunch with them. Have a great day. We'll see you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Amen.